A lot of people think marketing is self-promoting. They think it's salesy. They think it's sleazy. And if you're coming from it or to add it at that perspective, it will be. It's going to be hard and heavy. And you start with backing up and saying, what is your why? Like, why do you get out of bed every day? What is your purpose? And what do you feel called in this world to do? And when you start to remember your why and how you're actually showing up and you're serving, and then I always say, whose life are you changing today? And when you come at it with that, your whole personality, your whole mindset shifts.
You're on a mission and you just need more people to know about it. And whether you're brand new to marketing or a seasoned pro, we are all looking for answers to make marketing decisions with purpose. I'm Monica Pitts, a techie, crafty business owner, mom, and aerial dancer who solves communication challenges through technology. This podcast is all about digging in and going digital. I'll share my marketing know-how and business experience from almost 20 years of misadventures. I'll be your backup dancer so you can stop doubting and get moving towards marketing with purpose. This episode is sponsored by MakeCreate Design. Yeah. That's right. We sponsor ourselves. And brought to you with love by our Marketing on a Shoestring mini course. Now, our free beginners mini course is all about marketing on a budget. And contrary to popular opinion, you don't have to spend $1 million or do something that you hate to market your business. Get ready to challenge traditional marketing assumptions because this 101 mini course is designed to give you a rock solid foundation so you can make the right decisions for you with total confidence. You can check it out at youmaycreate.com. That's youmaycreate.com. And the link, of course, will be in the show notes. Okay, now back to business. Hello again, and welcome back to Marketing with Purpose. I'm your host, Monica Pitts, and today, no surprise, we are talking about marketing again. But luckily today, you do not have to listen to me talking about it all by myself. I actually have a guest with me today, Shelly Niehaus, and she is a business coach and personal brand strategist. So she's going to field all of our marketing questions for us today. So hi, say hi, Shelly.
Hi, I am so excited to be here. And to jam on marketing is my favorite thing. So this is such a great opportunity to just talk about the thing we're both passionate about.
I always learn so much from other marketers because I feel like I'm on a continuous journey. Like, it's not a stagnant art. So I love hearing the opinions of other folks like you. I think it helps me as much as it helps my audience, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
So tell me a little bit about your backstory. You started off as a photographer, right? But then you rolled into this business coaching mode. So I want to hear how that happened.
Well, it was by accident. As I'm sure you've heard other people say, they found their lane or zone of genius in life. But I actually owned several service-based businesses in three different industries for 20 years. And the last one was I was a commercial photographer in the Dallas area for 10 years. And I think it was about 2018, 2019, I was leading a lot of local masterminds, teaching other photographers how to market and sell their business. And one of the ladies finally looked at me and she said, why are you still taking pictures? Because you really need to be teaching other people how to do this. This is how you can make a bigger impact in the world. And I thought about it, but I didn't really do much with it because, you know, it takes time for things to really, you know, actually materialize. So I put that on in the back of my brain, continued with my life. And then we decided in 2021 to literally pack up, leave Dallas, leave the only life we'd ever known, and move across the country and start over. And what better way to start over in moving physical locations, but also completely pivoting your business and deciding you want to do something else. And when I got here, I thought I was going to do photography again, and it just, the doors didn't open. And, you know, just like that, my favor in that season was over, and I felt it. And I knew it was time, and that conversation we had came back. And I thought, I love marketing. I feel like I'm really good at it in my own business. So if I could teach other people how to do it and just lift that heavy, I feel like marketing is one of those things that so many people make so hard. You know, they just, you know, they throw all these fancy terms, put all these big systems around it. And if you're a business owner, that's trying to do what you love, you're trying to be a technician in your business and also market it, you don't want to have this big, heavy marketing strategy, implementation system. So my passion was, how can I make marketing simple and make it fun for the service-based provider or for the online business coach or something that's just, you know, starting out probably 3 to 5 years into their business and knows they need to do better, but they want to do it in a way that's fun and easy for them. And that is kind of what I pivoted and went into that direction and have not looked back.
Fun and easy. Yep. Those are not two words that we hear all the time associated with marketing. I feel like parts of it are fun for me because I get to do things that I like. And then other parts of it are pretty grueling because I don't love repetitive things or processes. So yeah, how do you bring that fun into it? Like, how do you help people know what simple and fun is right for them?
Well, first of all, as we all, it kind of starts with the mindset issue. A lot of people think marketing is self-promoting. They think it's salesy. They think it's sleazy. And if you're coming from it or to edit at that perspective, it will be. It's going to be hard and heavy. And so it's, you start with backing up and saying, what is your why? Like, why do you get out of bed every day? What is your purpose? And what do you feel called in this world to do? Like, how can you make an impact? And when you start to remember your why and how you're actually showing up and you're serving, and then I always say, whose life would be different if you weren't doing what you were doing? Like, whose life are you changing today? And when you come at it with that, your whole personality, your whole mindset shifts, and you show up from that position of serving and offering value and, you know, helping people versus buy my stuff, buy my stuff, buy my stuff. So we always lead with that organic relationship building, that organic, you know, positioning of letting them build that relationship with you. And when you start to look at marketing as it's simply having conversations with people that you could help, it changes it. And that's what I always tell my clients. I'm like, you're just out there having conversations every day with people that you could potentially help and make their life better. So if you just do that, then all of a sudden it changes the whole way you approach it. And then everything from there has a different lens.
I love, whose life are you changing today? That's a great statement. I wrote it down because I want to remember it, because that's, I mean, my husband, he's been a loan officer, like for veterans loans, basically, for 12 years. And sometimes he'll come home and he'll just be like, this is the worst job ever, Monica. People yell at me all day. And I'm like, you have a noble job, my friend. You change people's lives by allowing them to buy a home when they would never be able to buy a home before. And you're changing their lives. And then he's like, okay, well, I haven't thought about thought about it like that in a few days. So thank you. But it's just like a reminder act. Yeah, like the yes. Like, just flip it over. We got this. Like, so I love that positivity. Now, you specifically seek out entrepreneurs over the age of 40. So those are the people whose lives you're helping to change. And that's kind of a brave, like, statement, because people talk about target markets all the time, or they don't, quite frankly. Like, there's a lot of people who are like, well, just anybody with a house. And I'm like, this is – I don't know how we're going to make this work. Like, I got to have pictures that people can see and relate to on your website, right? And if it's just anybody who owns a house, like, that's not very descriptive. So what made you focus on that group of people? Because I bet there's a lot of people that could do that focusing in with their demographic, and it would help them build their business.
So I really focus a lot on online marketing. That's my passion is, you know, list building and helping you grow your audience online. And again, everything kind of comes through just having conversations with the people that you're helping. I started to see a clear line of how entrepreneurs approach marketing online differently, specifically social media, around the age of 40. The Gen Xers did not grow up with social media. We did not grow up with email marketing campaigns and all those things. And it's a heavier lift to figure out how to learn it. Like, we have a bigger learning curve. And I see a lot of specifically women in this type of genre or this demographic, they want to hide behind their products. They don't want to put their face out there. They don't want to be the face of their brand. They don't want to be the face of their business. And they're not doing that connection. They're not connecting online with photos and stories and imagery because they think they can simply just build it and they will come. And I always say, you know, when our parents used to want to buy something, what did they do? They went to the phone book. So now your online presence is, you know, that's your brand. You've got to stand out. So really it's helping them come over that, overcome that hesitation and teaching them how to market online. Whereas people, under 40, I feel like they get it. And it's not as hard. They understand it. They know how the game is played. My kids have never not known what an iPhone is. And they could teach me things with the iPhone. So it's just a different mindset shift in how people market. And it really does kind of happen around that 40 mark. So 40 is just kind of an arbitrary line in the sand. But I'm really looking for the people that did not, you know, weren't immersed in that online marketing space growing up and are having to learn how to do it at a later point in life.
Now, I know that there's a lot of companies and nonprofit organizations that are trying to connect with the same people that you serve. Like so many of my nonprofits are like, you know what, I need to get into this donor group. It's really difficult to, you know, get to the people who are 35 to 45 years old. And I tell them, yeah, well, part of it is because they have little kids and they're really busy. But then on the other hand too, like they do need to keep, some of them are like, my donors are dying. And I'm like, oh heavens, like this is morbid. but it's real, right? It's real. So how do you attract those folks to your business? Like what advice would you give nonprofits and businesses who are looking to attract that same demographic of people to their businesses, like based on your experience?
Well, again, you always kind of have to look at where they're hanging out and what the conversations that generation is having. And a lot of my clients are hanging out in networking groups that I see are kind of specifically designed for the older entrepreneur. If you even Google entrepreneurs over 40 or women over 40 networking groups, and women over 40 Facebook groups, women over 40 podcasters. I mean, if you just even start putting in some keyword searches, there is, you know, that's the beautiful thing about the online space. We can create a community around anything. So if you are looking at the conversations they're having, and again, people over 40, they're, how do I send my kids to college? What, you know, menopause for women, perimenopause. Like if you're just looking for the conversations they're having, those are the ways that you connect: Facebook groups, in-person events. And that's really what I started doing. I started just kind of paying attention to what conversations they were having adjacent to business, not necessarily around business, and getting out there and just making those organic connections. And then they start leading into talking about, and especially if that demographic, what I've learned is a lot of women specifically are starting a business. They raise their children. They've, you know, had their corporate career. Now it's time for them to do something they want to do. And those people are starting to want to be in business or a passion project. So that's a really good demographic to target because they're starting to have that time, especially once their kids get to be a little older and start driving. My kids started driving last year and my whole world changed. So, you know, maybe look for parents with teenagers that are now driving and going off to college. I don't know. But you start to get your freedom back and you can actually like think about, well, maybe what do I want to do? What does the next phase of my life look like? And that's some of the conversations they're having.
Okay, so we need to look, not necessarily to look, let me start that one over again. So you're saying don't look for the obvious, like where can I find a nonprofit to give money to? Instead, it would be like, what are these people talking about? Where are they online? And like start making your connections that way. And maybe not online, like it could be in person too, right? So yeah. Great advice. Yeah. I 100% agree. So as you are advising these wonderful female entrepreneurs over the age of 40, I love it. I'm one of those humans. Only I started my business at 25, so I don't know.
I did too, but it's very different. There was no Facebook when I started my business.
No, me either. Like, I mean, maybe there was, but I wasn't on it. Like, I wasn't. It was, yeah. late adopter for that one. What are you seeing that's working right now, like as far as tactics that they're employing?
Well, I think just with the whole shift of the world and AI and social media and the love-hate relationship with social media, the number one thing, and I'm having so many conversations with this, is you have to own your audience. You have to have, and I, you know, I, one of the things that I work with all my clients on is their list building, their email. You need to be able to have that relationship so that you can speak directly to your audience. And especially if you're promoting something, you know, you've nurtured them with that email list and they're the ones that are going to buy. I would say almost 95 to 100% of my sales come from people on my email list. And if you do the list building and you actually do it with integrity and you nurture and you show up and add value, those are the people that are really pulling out their wallets to buy from you or to, you know, donate to your cause or whatever when you have something to offer and promote. What I see that's not working is people are trying to sell exclusively on social media or promote on social media. And when you look at just the percentages, I think it's what, like 2% to 5% of your audience even sees your post. And the average life of a post is about 4 hours. So stop putting so much energy into social media and content creation and think about what types of things are longer, more evergreen, that are going to give you a better return on your investment. Another one is podcasting, creating a podcast, because those are evergreen. I always tell all of my audience, I'm like, go get on podcasts, guest on podcasts. You know, if you're a local service provider or a local nonprofit, you should be on every local podcast that is related to your, you know, field, because you can be that guest expert. So, you know, get on podcasts or, you know, do the list building, but do things that are going to give you that long-term return on investment that are a little longer, you know, evergreen, and stop spinning your wheels constantly creating reels and dancing on TikTok. Not that that's bad. That's just not where you should be putting your primary marketing efforts.
Well, and that advice actually does speak a lot to the demographic that you're helping, because when we grew up, the only thing you would pay monthly for is like utilities, right? You weren't renting a phone. You bought a phone and you used the phone. You know what I mean? And so the very idea of having to pay every single month for everything, it's like, what are we like mortgaging our lifestyle right now? Like, this is crazy, right? But that's not the way that we started life. And so it feels really weird to be, oh, I'm going to put this social post out and it's only going to be there for 4 hours. That's like renting my iPhone. Every time I renew my iPhone, I like bring it in and I'm like, all right, so we're going to sign the paperwork and I'm just going to pay you outright for the iPhone.
Yep.
And that's because I'm not making monthly payments on it. I don't care. Like, and they're like, well, ma'am, you're still going to have to sign the rental paperwork. I'm like, that's fine, as long as we can cancel it as soon as I write you the check for the phone, because I don't want to rent the iPhone. And it's not that it doesn't cost the same amount of money. It's that, like, I'm nuts and I can't handle it, right? No.
It feels good, that ownership.
Yeah, it does. And I feel like when you do the marketing, like you're talking about, the list building and podcasting or blogging or even videos out on YouTube, you're like owning those pieces of content that are available forever and not just available like for that small window of time, because
yes,
Google will show them to people.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Give Google love.
So crazy question. I know that the number one factor that is holding businesses back from doing great marketing is time. I swear that's the thing that people say all the time. I just don't have time. So how do you help people get it all done? Do you have any tips for people who are like in that time crunch and need to get it done?
So again, I think it depends on where you are in your business. Obviously, my end goal for every one of my clients is for them to create systems and standard operating procedures that they can outsource. You know, we all need to be working with a team, because we can't be wearing all the hats in our business. And even if you're good at marketing, that might not be your best. Yes, that might not be your best, you know, time way to spend your time. And so my end goal is to get everyone to, you know, hire a virtual assistant, get help with the marketing, just so that they can be as the business owner, spend more time on the strategy piece. Like, where do I need to be creating new content? What channels? Like you need to be the big thinker and not necessarily the person creating all the Canva graphics and stuff like that. So that's our end goal. And we always need to start with the end in mind. You know, where are we going? And that, and so if you're not there yet, because some, you know, when you're starting out, you're bootstrapping, you have more time than money. So you're going to spend your time doing that. But the goal is to get it organized so that you can eventually outsource it. And, you know, when you have more money, then it frees you your time up to go do other things. But if you're just starting out, I really recommend, you know, first of all, you've got to be very strategic. So you have to start with, I always say you have to have some time scheduled to actually work on it. So we can't do your marketing if you don't have any dedicated time set in your calendar to actually work on your marketing. So the first thing we do is we time block. And, you know, I talk about theme days sometimes, where you do different activities on different days, whether you're working with your clients or working on your business. And one of those is a marketing day. I used to call it marketing Mondays, where I always say it's like your oxygen mask. You put your own oxygen mask first, and you, what kid's going to get your, move your business forward. And then you step into serving your clients for the rest of the week. So a lot of my clients do have this marketing Monday. So now that you have the time set aside, you have to figure out what are you going to work on. And you can't be on every software platform. You can't be in every social media platform if you're starting out. If you've got a team and you've been doing this for years, you can do that. So where's the best return on your investment for you to spend time? And that's where are your clients hanging out. You know, are your clients on LinkedIn? Are your clients on Instagram? You know, are your clients on Facebook? And again, that's just the social media part. So I would say pick a platform and then try to show up consistently with focused content for 30 days. Mm-hmm. And again, you've got to make this sustainable. I would rather you post 3 times a week and that's it to one platform than to do the whole, you go in and you're nailing it for, you know, 30 days and then they ghost you, or you ghost them, your platform, and they don't see you for another, you know, 6 months. So, and that's the consistency. So whatever you choose, pick a platform, focus and consistency. And then back to to take that one step further, find a way that you can create content that's easy for you. I've got the gift of gab. I love to talk. So that's why I'm a podcaster. So my core piece of content that I create is a podcast. Some people love to write. It's a blog. You know, other people love to do video, and so they're creating a video. So choose one way to create content and then start figuring out how you can repurpose that content so that you're not constantly creating new things. So if you are making a video, thankfully, we have so many beautiful AI tools now that will strip that video out, make shorts, take your transcript, you know, turn it into a blog. So again, you create your content once and then you're just repurposing it. And so now you're not writing a blog, writing a newsletter, recording a podcast, all with, you know, separate energies. You're just doing it once and then you're dripping it out to all the different ways that you are prepared to do it at that time.
And you can always start with one. And then yes, build over time, because we didn't all start with everything, right? And
right.
Even when we started the Marketing with Purpose podcast, we had been blogging that we started in like 2019, but we'd been blogging since 2008. So I, like, for the first year, I went back to my blog posts yep. that were doing well in search engines and I read them. The podcast.
Me too.
Because I was like, well, like, why wouldn't I? And then when I didn't have them anymore, it was more time consuming because I then had to like write blog posts to accompany the podcast. But it got me like a long way, you know?
Yeah.
The dual purposing of it. And I liked
well,
it. So, yeah.
And just to follow up on that, just because you drop a podcast once or you post a blog once, don't let it sit on the shelf and collect dust. You know, if you have, you know, one of the things I teach my clients is rinse and repeat. So if you're in the month of May, go back to the month of May last year, look at everything you posted on social media, look at the conversations you're having. There's a really good chance most of those are very relevant still today. So I always look at what can I repurpose from last year before mm-hmm. I start to create new content. Because you don't need to constantly be creating new content. That stuff is evergreen and can always be, you know, refreshed and repurposed, you know, 1 year later.
I 100% agree. And especially for my nonprofit listeners who do a lot of event-based marketing, I know some of the most successful like marketing teams out there for great organizations, including when we promoted our community's year-end giving campaign, we posted almost the same social posts, but freshened them up every year, same emails every year. We would make them better, maybe make them shorter, maybe write a more snappy title based on what was the year before, but all of us are just recycling, and we got more gifts every year. You know, it wasn't about writing something new. They don't know. Like, they're fine with it. Like, if it was good to begin with, it was good, right? Right. And then there were some that we would just rewrite because they didn't do well. But right. Yeah, I love it. I love recycling.
Work smarter, not harder.
Exactly. So then, like, piggybacking on that question, what's the biggest mistake that you see people making in their marketing?
I see people overestimating what they can do. They don't give themselves, they don't understand. And this is just my experience with everything in life. Everything takes 2 to 3 times longer than you think it is. So they like, you know, create this 90-day content calendar. They think they're going to post every day. They come out of the gates, you know, swinging, they're doing great. And they are burnt out. It's not sustainable. And I would just, I always say, start small, progress over perfection. Just do something. And you got to look at your season of life. If you've got small kids and you're running carpool or else you're caring for aging parents, you have to take into consideration that you may not be in a place, if you don't have a team, to execute that. So before you mm-hmm. ever start putting out there, look at what's realistic for you to execute. And then the second thing is they have this, they think they have to constantly be creating new stuff. And I guarantee you probably most of your listeners have a library of things sitting that all they have to do is refresh. And that way they can make it easier on themselves. So back to making it hard, people make this hard and they come up with this big energy and this big system. And when they really should just be starting small and taking it and growing little by little. And just, you know, one of my coaches uses a great example. The iPhone did not come out in the current state that it is. Like the first iPhone, did not take video. It didn't, you know, maybe had a camera. It was awful. You know, like if you look at what the very first iPhone looked like, so what is your iPhone version 1? You may be like, mine might be the iPhone version 15. You know, whoever you're looking at in the business world, they may be at iPhone 15 or 16 or whatever is out, but you may be only ready for iPhone version 1, and that's okay. And the next year you can relaunch your next level up. But like, don't feel like you have to go to this massive strategy if you're not ready for it.
I love that. That is perfect advice. You start where you are and each campaign builds on the next one. So yes. It's okay. Everybody is allowed to be exactly where they are right now, friends.
Yes.
Okay. But you got to do something. You can't do nothing. That also doesn't work either. So what is the one marketing strategy that you can't do without in your business? Like the best investment of your time and money for your personal business? Because I know it's different for everyone.
Right. I think you should find the number one way that you can connect with your clients and put energy into that. And for me, it's a podcast. And you have to, again, everything has to start with the end of mind. So my podcast leads people into taking advantage of different freebies or opt-ins and getting on my email list. And then eventually, hopefully working with me in some type of a coaching capacity. So putting effort into my podcast, because that's where I'm actually out there meeting people and raising awareness, is what works for me. So I, you know, whether it's your YouTube channel, a podcast, a blog, if you're working the speaking circuit, find that one thing that really works for you and put your energy into that, but also make sure that you have a strategy for how that is going to lead from this community that you're building into people actually working with you, being clients or donors, mm-hmm. because a lot of us are really good at creating community, but there's no through line or there's no roadmap to get them to actually working with us in our business. Mm-hmm. You've got to make sure you have that connection and it's very clear path on how they can go from one step to the next.
Yes. Like, for example, I will occasionally mention a resource in my podcast, but I don't have a sponsor for my podcast. And I just realized this, you know, everyone else has sponsors for their podcasts. And I was like, I think that I should let one of my resources sponsor my podcast for each episode and be like, no, straight up people, this podcast is sponsored by MakeCreate Design. That is who sponsors this podcast, the people that build websites. And here is a resource if you would like it. This is the episode sponsor, this resource. Because I was like, wait a second here. I'm not telling people to go do something. I'm just giving them information, which is great. I still am happy to help. But still.
But they may take that next step with you or me. And so why I always say reminding is kind. So remind them how they can take the next step. Remind them of what the next step is on the journey. And that's in every business. So if you're whatever you're doing, your call to action should be how can they take that next step with you? And it doesn't have to be book a call, buy my product. It's what's the next just small logical step for them to take the relationship from, you know, maybe casual dating to a more, you know, serious dating relationship or something like that. Like think about how you would execute that in the real world.
I love that. Reminding is kind. So you're not bothering people. You're reminding them. And everybody needs a reminder because we're busy. We forget. Yes. And we feel stupid when we forget. And so when you remind us, then we don't have to feel stupid because then we can feel smart and like we're in control because we have a person that's helping us. You, who is reminding us. And it's great. Okay, so my second to last question for you, which I really like asking marketers, is what is your favorite marketing tool? It could be a digital tool. It could be a physical tool. Some people like Post-it notes. Other people like Airtable. What's yours?
So I love a good CRM. And, you know, I'm actually working with two. I've been with ConvertKit for a long time. I love ConvertKit. Like, even people that just aren't very tech savvy can get in and create beautiful landing pages. They can start to grow their email list. They can, you know, deliver their, you know, lead magnets and freebies. And so even if you don't have a website yet, you can start with a good CRM like ConvertKit to start building your audience. Now, you still need to go build a website, but I like some people that are, I'm like, while you're building the website or while you're doing, you know, building all your social platforms, get started with collecting these people and start to build these organic relationships with them through, you know, just your email marketing. So I really love ConvertKit. And I always recommend that for every beginner business owner, marketer out there, because they're so, you know, easy. I've had people that are like, I am not tech and I figured this out. So I love that it's so user-friendly. If you're looking for a more robust system and you really want all the bells and whistles, I like Go High Level. Because it'll do everything for you all in one system, but it's a beast. You got to learn it. And so, you know, that's for somebody that's ready to, I always say it's like moving. You got to spend a lot of time setting up all your closets and your rooms. Like this is your virtual home and it takes time. So that's a heavier lift. If you are ready to do that though, it's a great all-in-one software platform.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for all of your advice and time today. Tell our listeners where they can connect with you.
Well, I think the first place is my podcast. It's Educated, Empowered, Inspired. And I just provide business tips and marketing tips for service-based providers, solopreneurs, and entrepreneurs. So we jam on marketing every week. It's a great place. And we do lots of marketing tips and strategies. And then outside of that, I have a lot of resources on my website, shellynehouse.com, including, you know, a free email quick start guide, just all kinds of different things for them to just, and again, I really target the person that is not the master marketer. They need help just getting started and building momentum with their marketing. So these are not advanced, you know, email marketing strategies. This is how a five-step process to get email started in your business.
And before I let you go, I want to give one more shout out to our MakeCreate resource sponsor, Marketing on a Shoestring. It is the free beginner's mini course to marketing on a budget. It lays the foundation of creating the right messaging to connect with your potential customer and prime them to buy. It unlocks the four-part framework for making confident, budget-conscious marketing decisions so you can stop second-guessing and get a clear path forward. and it outlines the highest converting tactics that I know of for new marketers so you don't have to waste time on strategies that will never reach your goals. Hop on over to youmaycreate.com for instant access. That's YOUMAYECREATE.com. So thank you so much for joining me today. Make sure to subscribe wherever you're listening so you don't miss out on our next episode. And don't be afraid to use that link in the show notes to go over and enjoy the fully formatted blog post with all the pictures broken down, covering every single thing that we talked about today. Because your next step is to put this information to action. And until next time, go forth and market with purpose.